I'd appreciate if everybody could put away their cell phones, cigarettes, and from the heart. I will try and speak from the heart. There's a minhag, which has become a minhag, on the yahrzeit of Rebbe Eli Lapyan. I would like to say a few words about his gadlus. Shabbos, normally it's on the yahrzeit of his, I speak on his yahrzeit. Shabbos will be his yahrzeit. Let me explain who Rebbe Eli was. Rav Hupna, in a maimer, says that we live in a world of instant gratification. Everything's instant. You press a button, we have all the answers. We feel down, no such thing as doing something about it. Pop a pill, do something else. Feel good. And we have the same machala when it comes to Gedolim. Altscroll managed to portray that it's very easy to become a Gadol. In any book that you'll read about Gedolim, you cannot never read what his nisyonos were, what fights he had within himself. We see the Gadol, the last 10 years of his life, and we say, nothing to do with me. And the truth is that every Gadol had his fights. Every Gadol lost some, won some. If David HaMelech writes on himself, Sheva Yipil Tzadik, become 7 times a Tzadik conform, he'll just pick himself up and move on. So Kol Shekein on the Gedolei Yisrael. Here I want to portray to you, by accident, that happens to be my grandfather, of an Odom Gadol, of an Ish Kodesh, who he was, but his ups and downs of life. Rebbe Eli came from what we call finer Balabatim. Nice Balabatisha house, Elocha house. They happened to have moved to America later on in life. What we call Elocha Yidden. What do you call an Elocha Yid from the old days? My great-grandmother was once walking through a forest to go to the other town. And in Poland, Litter, when there was a rainfall, you went under a tree straight away because of the power of the rain coming down. And she went under a tree. And as she stood under the tree, which might be a chiddush to some of you guys, a goy came by and also went stood under the tree. And she held it was a shayla of yichud, so she ran for her life. So she walked out and carried on walking in the pouring rain. As she walked away, lightning struck the tree and the goy dropped dead. That's the elochkeit that we're talking about. Fine, elocha, yidden. Rebellion. As a younger man of 35 years old, was Zeicha to Gilu Elio. When he went to the Sfas Emes for a brocha, so the Sfas Emes turned around to him and said, younger man, that was Zeicha to have Gilu Elio, that Eliyahu Novi should come to him and tell him what plant to take in order that his wife should have a refuah shleima, doesn't need a brocha from me. So my Zayda turned around and said, Rebbe, a Rebbe that knows that I had Gilu Elio, he's the one to give me a brocha. Rebellia was an Ish Kodesh V'Tohoi who was Mesa Nefesh as a kid to learn Torah. When he, at the first year after he got married, he went to learn by the Leshem Shvoi Vachlomo. The Leshem was Rebbe Eliashiv, today's grandfather, who the Chofetz Chaim said on him it's kedai to go to visit him in today, in this world, because in the next world we won't be able to get into his Dalai Damas. That's the Chofetz Chaim holding of the Leshem. Rebellion learned by him for a year, Kabbalah. Rebellious tefillahs was to the point that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mira Rosh Yeshiva, by the rebellious Levaya, said, "Ich dank Rebellion, I want to thank Rebellion." And when I was listening to the tape as a kid, I asked my father, "What does he mean over here? I want to thank Rebellion." So my father told me that Reb Chaim had a stroke when he was a younger man. And Reb Chaim, at that point, there was a shiloh whether he'll be able to get back his speech. And they went running to Rebellion for a bracha. And this is before Reb Chaim started saying Musa Shmur. And Rebellion said, "Reb Chaim, without saying Shiurim and without saying Musa Shmuzim, is Nishka Reb Chaim." And he davened, and Reb Chaim had a refuah shleima. And everybody who was there in the room went for the bracha, was nispol. What's Reb Chaim got to do with Musa? It happens to be that a few years later, the Mashgiach Mir was Nifta, and Reb Chaim took over saying Shmuzim. That's when Reb Chaim, we always talked about Reb Chaim's Ga'inus, and what sells today is his Shmuzim. And I said, so what did he say? He thanked Rebellion. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people davened for him. So he says Reb Chaim had a cholum. His father came to him in a cholum, and he told him, the reason why you had a refuah shleima is because in Shemayim, rebellious tefillahs were mekubal. Rebellion with his koyach ha-tefillah, he managed to be peil that you should get back the koyach of your speech. We're talking about a man that basically fasted most of his life on every Monday and every Thursday, till probably the age of 90. He had a tanis dibur every Monday and Thursday. Forget about Elul from Rosh Chodesh till Av Motzi Yom Kippur. There was a Tanis Dibur straight through. And I've got a letter at home where my father writes to Rebellion that he should stop fasting. And Rebellion writes back, David HaMelech says, "I killed my Yetzer Hara with fasting." And at 93 years old, he was still the Koichoi. He was a tremendous orator. Whoever heard him speak, Nomas kol lev, every heart softened. Rebellion, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, had a yeshiva, what would they call, for high school kids. Not the regular yeshiva bachim, the kippot srugot came to his yeshiva. And he turned them around to make them into yeshiva bachim. He couldn't speak Ivrit, and they couldn't speak Yiddish. But when Rebellion spoke before Ne'ilah, every bachim sat there crying. This is who Rebellion was. We can go on for a long time. Who he was. Let's take a small part of his life. The Nisoyan, the big Nisoyan that started him off. When he was 9 years old, Rebellion's parents couldn't handle the pogroms and the panosa, and they decided to go to America. You're talking about probably over, Rebellion is already Nifta, nearly 40 years, he was then 95, make a cheshbon. We're talking about over 100 years ago. But Rebellion lived. I mean, he's a man from our generation, what we call. And Rebellion, at 9 years old, his parents said, "We're going to America." And Rebellion, 2 days before, the parents moved on to go to take a train to the port. Rebellion ran away from home. "I'm not going to America." And he came back a day or two later to see what happened. He didn't want to have the nisoyan of saying goodbye to his parents, because he felt that if he'd say goodbye, emotions would take him over and he'd go with. In those days, it wasn't just taking a flight, and you know, whenever you feel homesick or some chasna from your third cousin, you pick up a plane and you go back. In those days, saying goodbye meant, "I don't know when I'm going to see you." In fact, Rebellion, the first time he went to America in the 50s, was the first time he saw his sister in 50 years. And Rebellion ran away from home. He came back and there was a ticket and a bit of money on the table with a letter to come to America. And Rebellia tore up the ticket. He was left with a bit of money, and his father was known to have said, Elinka vet noch kumen in America. You'll see, Elia will break and we'll get him to America. Rebellia, the little money that he had left, kept him going, and then he decided he has to go to Yeshiva Katana. He walked, because he didn't have any money, and his father at that time refused to send him money in order to break him, to bring him back to America. What do you mean, a nine-year-old kid left in Lithuania by himself? And Rebellia walked, and he said when he was a kid, he said about himself years later, I was Moisa Nefesh for Torah, I didn't have money to buy shoes, I put shmatas around my feet, and I walked to a town called Lomja. And I went into the Yeshiva Katana over there. And that's where he started learning. Rebellia as himself wasn't any great genius. He was a hard worker. I would call him as an average head. He had one thing that was above a lot of other people. He could focus, which he taught himself to over the years, for hours. In fact, he had a koyach that when he spoke, he was so focused he didn't see anybody around him. In fact, Rav Sholom Shadron, who was a Talmud of Rebellia, wanted to learn this chokhmah from Rebellia, and Rebellia said, it's too late, you're too old. He could look at a sefer on a ladder, look up a sefer, and stand on the ladder for 6 hours straight, concentrated in the sefer. And Rebellia started learning. In fact, his father-in-law, who was an Ish Tzaddik Wakodesh, Rabbi Yitzchak David Rotman, who later came to Yerushalayim, wanted to do the shidduch, but he had a problem. How can I do a shidduch with a bocha whose parents went to America? There must be something wrong with the Yerushalayim of the house. And he walked into Rabbi Chaim Leib Stavisker, who was one of the greatest Kedoshim and Mukubolim of that generation. And as he walked into the room, Rav Chaim Leib, before he asked him the shayla, said, mazel tov on the shidduch. So Rav Yitzchak David understood that this is a shidduch min hashamayim. This is who Rebellia was. Rebellia, that kufa, went to learn in Kelm. He was zeichah to learn 2 years by Rav Simcha Zissel, the Alter von Kelm. He had 13 children. He opened a yeshiva katana in Kelm. And in 1930 he moved to England because he couldn't. He once went collecting in Germany and it was a bigger neighbor. They had sold all his money and they stole all his money. And Rebellia then made a Geirul Hagro. Geirul Hagro means there's a certain way, if you have a shaila, what to do in life. So the Goyin gave us a Kabbalah of how to look into the Chumash, and with the Pasuk that you come out with, that Pasuk tells you what to do. I was zeicha once or twice to see Gedali Yisrael do it, and it's scary to see the Pesukim that come out. Rebellion made a Geirul Hagro. The Chavetz Chaim taught him. He made the Geirul Hagro and it came out to the Pasuk, Onoichi Ered Mitzrayimo, Vonoichi Ele Gam Ola Imcha. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim and I'll take you back up. Rebellia held that London in those days, there was no Yiddishkeit there, and he was offered a job in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva. He held that that was Mitzrayim, and the Torah is telling him, go to Mitzrayim, I'll take you out of there. Rebellia went. He suffered 20 years of bizyonus. Never said a word. Lost his wife before he even married off his first kid. My mother as a child remembers hearing about this famous levaya in London in the 1930s of 9 boys saying Kaddish. The youngest, I think, was then 8 years old, 9 years old. And Rebellion, 1947-48, he was then a man of 70 years old, came to Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to retire, as they say. I want to sit back and learn. I want to finish off my last years in Avodas Hashem. And when they heard him speak, one of the big yeshivas wanted to take him. He didn't want to take the job, and he went into the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said, "Oid yinuvim b'seiva. You've still got plenty more years to go. They'll be full, fruitful years. Lahagid ki yosha Hashem. They're there for you to say, talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah." The Chazon Ish told him, "Take it." And he lived another 20 to 25 years, where suddenly he came out of this shell and he became the center for Musa. He became the center for Brochas, Tzkoyach HaTfila. Hundreds of Talmidim were turned around. And this is Rebellion that went through Nisyonos of 9 years old. Okay. But I want to tell the story in a different form. I want to tell the story in the form that we go through. Rebellion is 9 years old, and his parents decide to go to America. And he goes to America. A kid of 9 years old. He's an oinus. Can't blame him. He goes to America. His family's leaving. You're going to leave a 9-year-old kid by himself? He goes to America. Comes to America. Elach her parents. He goes to Goshen High School. My great-grandparents are buried in Chicago. Chicago then was a Jewish community. I don't think there was any real Jewish schools then. And Rebellion goes to school. And by 16 years old, got to go make panosa. And as the saying goes, he opened up a candy store. Elias candy store. El Chayid. Soma Torah mitzvahs. His sister told him when she met him after 40, 50 years, that she never touched meat in America. She's never eaten meat because of the kashrus. He was an alachiyid. And goes to davening every day, 3 times a day. Real alacha, gives his stocker, comes to davening, doesn't dare talk during Chazal Sajats, Kaddish, Kriyas HaTorah. And he has his Kviyas Itim LaTorah. He goes to the Shia between Mincha and Maariv. He hits the age of 20, 22, 23. He finds a Shidduch. And he actually has the schus of finding the one and only girl in Chicago in those days that's Muchan, that's prepared to actually cover her hair. Oh Hashem, did a Welt Shidduch. Found a girl in America. And he has 13 kids. 13 kids. He goes through life. He becomes the house of Chesed. He becomes the house of Chesed. Any Meshulach, any Rosh Yeshiva coming from Europe, where can you stay? There's a guy called Eliel Lopian, Mr. Lopian, in Chicago, that runs an Elcha house. Doesn't have meat in the house. He's careful what he eats. He goes to davening every day, medaktik b'mitzvahs. Kosher the Yid, stocker, he's president of the shul, he's president of any, the Chevron Kaddish organization. You can stay by his house, and he's a Baal Chesed, he'll help you raise money for the yeshiva. And here he has 13 kids, and for Shteitzach actually sends them to Sunday school, what they used to have. But you know, the American society, 14, 15, no. I went to Goshe schools. In those days, college was the Avodah Zorah. have to go to college, you've got to make it in life, this is the real life. You know, the old life we left on the boat before we came over, you know, the normal in the early, late 1800s, 1900s, how many thousands, tens of thousands of Yidden were Mechallei Shabbos, Elochi Yidden, but the Parnosa was so hard. And slowly, didn't have much chinuch in Hebrew. They went to their Sunday schools, Rebbe tried to give them the parsha, but Gemara, no, a shtickle. They remember after Bar Mitzvah when they started going to real high school, they want to become lawyers and doctors. We've got to make it in the new world. Yiddishkeit, without realizing it, when was forgotten. Baruch Hashem, they married Yidden. But rather, from rebellious brothers and sisters that went to America in that tkufa, there is nothing left. We tried once to trace. There's nothing. Third generation, second generation, grandchildren. Nobody knows where they are, who they are, if they're still Jewish, if they haven't married out. Nothing. Wiped out totally. Okay. And Rebellia lives to the ripe old age of 95. And time to move on. He's Nifta. And the Chicago Herald Tribune writes, outstanding balabos. The pillar of the community. And you might even have a write-up in some Litvish paper or Polish paper from a Rosh Yeshiva who stayed by his house. One Elch Yid he was. His children, Nebuch, 60 years old, 50 years old. In those days they didn't have an Oscar or Siddur. So saying Kaddish, they had a bit of a problem, because they're long, long forgotten how to do Hebrew without reading the English side. Nebuch, but you know what? He tried. He was an Elch Yid. He tried to give them morals. And you know, Elch Goyim, Nebuch, the grandchildren, forget about. Forget about if they will marry Jews. But his kids married Yidden. Kaddish? No. Come, Yisgad, I'll be Yisgadish. And he comes upstairs to Shemayim. This is Rebellia Lopian coming upstairs, where the Jewish observer has a write up on him, a true balabos. Mamash, well, gemengt. You'd think coming upstairs, the gates are open. Rebellia comes upstairs. I fought America, thinking to himself, the stockers, the yeshivas that I supported, the money that I sent to Europe for yeshivas, the achnosas oichim, the shmiras of kashrus, my tfilas three times a day, I never missed a minyan, never spoke during davening, president of the community. And he comes upstairs thinking, they're going to put out a red carpet. They're going to make for me a bruchim aboyim. Look what a send-off I had in Chicago. My children, I'm not to blame. I'm not to blame for my children. It's not my fault. I tried my hardest. I tried to keep them within the community. Baruch Hashem! At least they married Jews. Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Oynes Rachmona Patra. And as he comes into this Bezdin, and they go through all his mitzvahs and averas, this is what everybody goes through, and he comes out looking at Tzadik Gomu. And then as he walks towards the right, Olam Haba on the right, a baskol comes out and says, Rotzeach, you're a murderer. And the Rebellia looks up and says, who did I murder? What did I murder? I was such a nice, edler guy. Who did I murder? And the baskol comes out, Rotzeach, stop. And then, today we can understand it. Perhaps 100 years we didn't understand it. But today we can understand where they show on the movie in Shemayim everything who you are, but everything that you could have been. And then they show a movie of a man with a long white beard saying a shmooze, thousands of people listening to him. They show three svarim of Lev Eliyahu. They show hundreds of tapes that go all over the world, that Ad HaYom HaZeh, Ad HaYom HaZeh, people on Yisrael B'Tshuva. In fact, the story of the tapes is that when Rebbe was in Kfar Chassidim, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Kfar Chassidim, which is a place near Haifa. And he was saying shmuzi. And an American Yankee Doodle from Baltimore turned up with these massive old tape recorders where they had these massive wheels. And he taped everything that Rebellious said. He has his Asher Yotza, he has his Bruch Zamozen, he has him learning Musa. When Ramatisio wanted to revive Musa Seder in Lakewood, he took a tape of Rebellious learning Musa, and he said, this is the way to learn Musa. And he had tapes and tapes of these reels, everything for about 2 years. Anything a rebellion did, he was there. Like today, anything that we do, there's a picture on the phone. Can't move without being... He had everything on reels. 40 years later, rebellion came to him in a cholam, in a dream. He woke up one morning and he heard rebellion telling him, how come the world doesn't hear my voice? And he couldn't work out, what does rebellion want? And then he remembered these dusty old wheels of tape. He took them to, he said, this must be what rebellion means. He took them to a professional studio, and he put them in, and he took off all the background noise. He did it professionally. He has 50 tapes of rebellion that he sold worldwide in the last 10 years. It's kind of brought down, this story is brought down in the book in English of rebellion. Because the guy that wrote the book on rebellion in English is Gufa, the one that had this dream. Favos het manish mein kol. Why don't they hear my voice? And here they show on this movie in Shemayim thousands and thousands of hours of Torah. And then they show him Gateshead, London, Manchester, thousands of yeshiva bachrim learning, hundreds of hours of years of learning to his course. And then they show him America. And why do I say America? The story goes that Menachem Porush, who used to run Chinuch Atzmoy, went to visit Rabban Kotler when he was lying in hospital in the last month, before he was nifta. And Menachem Porush was telling him that we made a big meeting for Chinuch Atzmoy, and I invited Rebellion Lopian to speak. Rebellion was a Weltsredner. And when Rabban heard Rebellion's name, he started crying. And Rabban said, if it wouldn't be for Rebellion, where would I be? He says, because Rabban Kotler, nobody knows this. Perhaps some of you do. Was a brilliant kid. And his sister was a bit on the left. And she wanted Rabban, as a brilliant kid, go to university, become a professor. Don't sit in the old school and kvetch bank. Don't keep the chair warm. Do something for life. Move out. You're so brilliant. You become a world professor. And she started to indoctrinate Rabban with reading books. In those days, there was Choshiva classical books that you got a bochus to start reading it, and you chapped him, and he was, within 3 days, he was in Odessa in the university. Some of the best bochum in Volozhin were pulled out of Volozhin and other yeshivas through these books. And Rabban started reading it. And Rebellion was then going around different towns speaking. He was a younger man. And he suddenly saw, at 12 years old, who Rabban was. This is something that has... And he schlepped him to Kelm. And he pulled him out of... And Rabban says, where would I be if it wouldn't be for Rebellion that pulled me away from my family? The Schus HaTorah of America. is partly because of rebellion. He got rabban to leave these Sifrei Haskalah and come to a yeshiva. And then he ended up in Slabodka. And he became the God Lador that built a whole America. We are here today, Bishus, Rabban turning around America. And this is all Bishus, rebellion. And they show this on university, and then they show rebellion had a few children, among them my father, who was Zeicha to be Rosh Yeshivas for years. Einiklach. Probably 60% of rebellious Einiklach have either yeshivas or koilalim or schools. How much Torah is it b'schus rebellion? And they show him this picture, and they show him the movie, and they show him Gilu Elio, and they show him Koyach HaTfila. They show him everything. And he turns around and he says, who's that? And he said, you missed the boat. You're the Ratzeach. You killed your potential. This is who you could have been. It doesn't make a difference how many mitzvahs and how erlich you are and what a shame about a boss you are. Doesn't make a difference. You were supposed to be on that movie. That's who you were supposed to be. You're a Ratzeach. You killed your potential. And he turns around and he says, but I was 9 years old. What do you want from a kid of 9 years old? And Beis Din Shel Naila says, no, at 9 years old, you had the potential, the koichas, that you could have turned around and run away from home. You didn't. This is what the outcome is. You might be an elcha balabos, but you didn't fulfill your potential. That wasn't why I sent you down on this world. I sent you down on this world to save Eretz Yisrael. Europe's Torah after the war, most of the Torah learnt in Europe is all bischus, the different Rosh Yeshivas of rebellious kids. Eretz Yisrael, America. And here he is. What do you want from me? Ratzeach! Your potential, this is not what we wanted from you. Take a left turn. When the Netziv finished his svarim on She'ultas, he made a siyum. He made a suuda. And he called the Holy Shiva together and he said, the reason why I'm making a suuda is because when I was a kid of 12 years old, I wasn't doing well in cheder. And I overheard my parents speaking that, you know, if it's not going, let's send him to work. Let him bring a bit of panos. In those days, 12 years old was probably like 25 today. Let him go and work. No such thing as these shivers in those days. And then the Netziv says, I walked into the room and I started crying and I said, give me one more chance. Give me a few more months. Let me see what can happen. And he sat down. He didn't have it easy. He broke his head. 19 to 20, 22 hours a day, the Netziv didn't move. And he became the God Lador. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin for 40 years. And he said, I'm making a suda today. Because if I had to become the cobbler, the shoemaker, that my parents wanted me to become, and I would have come upstairs, and they would have shown me on the movie, as I'm moving in towards Olam Haba, as all my mitzvahs and averas are being weighed up and I see that I'm winning, and suddenly from the left comes out this movie of the Netziv 40 years of being Marbitz Torah. Where's all the svarim? Something that was left over for generations of generations. We are here today b'schus the Netziv. I am making a suda today that the Ribbono Shel Olam, when I come upstairs, doesn't have such a taina. Won't have this taina against me. Because I won. This is the movie that perhaps will be shown to every one of us when we come upstairs. And when I talk about rebellion, the reason why it's so real to us is because he lived in our generations. He didn't have any great Ilui Shakop. You want to tell me Rabban Kotel was a brilliant man? Okay. Rebellion. Average, good, worked hard. Imagine how much Torah, how much Yiddishkeit would be missing when he watches this movie of what he could have been. And when he hears this loudspeaker, Ritzeach, you are a murderer. You killed your potential. All the mitzvahs, what he did, everything that he thinks goes off on the side. And he stands there with his hands open, where do I go from here? Chazal is a Meirdik and Medrash. Pam Achas. And the truth is, this is what we go through, each one of us. Pam Achas Hayisi Oiva Mimokim Lamokim. This is Eliyahu HaNavi saying over. I once was going from one place to another, and I found a guy who was making the tzonos of me. Making the tzonos. I'm a yeshivish guy. I look Jewish. I look very from Eliyahu HaNavi. Ubo Kenegdi was coming towards me. Across the balabos. Vomatili, Beni, tell me, my son, what are you going to answer to your father in heaven when you come upstairs to your mishpat? The chaprosta mensch and amaoritz. What are you going to answer? So he says to him, I've got plenty to answer. He gives him the normal attitude that we all have. I've got plenty. Amole, what? Bina the day alay not no minashamayim. I don't have a good head. I don't have a good head. They didn't give me seichel. I'll come upstairs. I've got what to answer, therefore I'm free. I can have a great time. Omalti loy, says Eliyahu HaNavi. Let me ask you shayla. Ma malachtecha, what's your business? She said, Tzayid anoichi. I'm a fisherman. I chill out on the bay, on the deck chair, with my fat cigar, and I catch fish. So he asks him, how do you know how to make a fishing net? Who taught you how to make a real choshva fishing net that your panos is from fish? So he answered him, Bezeh bina v'das nosta bina shamayim. That I have seicha for. I'm street smart. I've got a knack for it. I'm good at it. I've got business acumen. That they gave me from shamayim. Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, Bni, if they gave you seicha and they gave you a head, and they gave you understanding that you become a lawyer, you can become a doctor, that you can make money, that you are a fisherman, that you know how to make these nets, you know what kind of material to use. For Torah, he didn't have it. Where the Torah writes, Ki korev elecha adova ma'oid, where the Rabbeinu Shlom writes in the Torah that it's so close to you, it's so close to you that you be'etzim, it's inside you. Because when you're 9 months in your mother's stomach, you know kol ha'teira kula. You're learning with the malach kol ha'teira kula. There's a famous story by the Belzer Rebbe that a kid was born. Before a kid is born, Chazal tell us that the Malach comes and hits the kid on his lips, and with that he forgets the Torah. And a child was born who didn't have that simon. And when he was, as a kid, he was kolach herukula. He went to Belzer Rebbe. Belzer Rebbe gave him a knock on his lips and he forgot. He became normal. But that's what we are. Be'etzim, if the Malach wouldn't knock us, we have inside us kolach herukula. Now we have to revive it. It's there. Ki kol ve'elecha adova. Miyad hoya mis'anach. When the reality hit him in the face, he started sighing. Goya meirim koilo vaya boicha. He started crying and he didn't know what to put himself. So he said, "Don't worry about it." Elianovi says, "Alashah b'nei me'odom shein meshivim b'yse'inyan." We all answer the same question. We all are in the same boat. You're not the only one. But ma'isi yodeyem mechichim aleyem. The way they run their lives, where they showed that what they wanted they could get. When they were focused on something, they made sure they get it. What was choshev to them, that they have the seichel. For that they have been over das. For that they'll run around for brachos all over. You have every balabos coming to Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Sukkos, whether it's Lag BaOmer, whether it's Yom Kippur, and he runs to every tzaddik. Brachos, panosa. For what's choshev to you, you're willing to run around. I'll fly in for 24 hours to daven by the Shimon Lag BaOmer. How come nobody does it to steiging learning? How come nobody's running to the Kaisel to ask the Rebbein Shlom, let me steig in learning? Give me Siyata Dishmaya. Let me become the millionaire in learning. And when we come upstairs, he pulls down the movie and he's going to show us, look what you did for money. Where did he get you? What you could have done. And don't tell me you don't have any seichel. Because if you made it big in business, the Ponovizhirov, when he used to go collecting, and he used to walk into a millionaire's house, he used to say, "Oh, the vote just lost the God of Lador. The vote, the world just lost the God of Lador. If you'd have been, taken all that energy in you, all the seichel that you said you didn't have for learning, and put it into learning instead of business, what the world would have had. What would you have had?" And this is Eliyahu HaNavi. And the truth is, this is our nisoyon day in, day out. When Yosef HaTzadik said, "Ani Yosef," is the Medrash tells us, "Oy miyom adin, woe to the day of din of mishpot." Yosef HaTzadik, he told them off, he's a boss of a dom. They were so embarrassed, they fainted. In fact, they didn't even faint. The Malachim had to bring back their neshamas. They died from such busha. What did he say? What did Yosef say? "Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai." I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Says the Beis Halevi Amorei Dekavot. Beis Halevi says, what was Yehuda saying over there? Yehuda was screaming at Yosef, "My father is not well. If you take Binyamin away from me, my father's going to drop dead." And he starts telling a whole story about Binyamin. He starts telling a whole story about Yaakov Avinu, who's 22 years, hasn't seen one of his children, and I'm not going to see a second child. How can you do it to him? And all Yosef said was, "Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Ha'oid of Yichai? Did you think about my father when you sold me 22 years ago? You yourself are coming giving me this Moses Shmuz. You yourself are ready to give your life up in order that your father shouldn't have tzar. What happened 22 years ago?
Says the Medrash, if they fell apart because they saw this stira in what they were doing, they suddenly realized, I have my negius. Everybody has their own personal interest in what they're doing, and they answer themselves 50 times over. And when they see the truth for that 1 minute of emes, they couldn't hold out. Ani Yosef, all he said is, I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? What do you mean? We're talking about my father. No, is my father still alive? Did you think about your father, Tsar, when you thought about selling me? Allah has come over Kama when we come upstairs. Kalva Chayma when we come upstairs, and the Ribbono Shel'Olam shows us the stira. This is who you are. This is what you did. And he's going to show us the movie of Ani Yosef to each one of us. Each one of us is going to have that movie showing Ani Yosef. Are we going to be able to answer? Are we going to be able to say, no, I couldn't. My father put pressure on me. My this, my that. Rotschim. That's what they're going to say to you. You're murderers. Poi Nitman, they're going to write on your matseva. Poi Nitman, here lies not a goyin at tzaddik, somebody who could have been a goyin at tzaddik. And we all go through this. And we're all in the matzav of rebellion when he was 9 years old. We happen to be 10 years older. And we make decisions. 9-year-old kid. On this one little decision that he's not going to America. What a change in the world. Generations of generations of Torah. I stand here tonight because my grandfather made a decision when he was 9 years old. And this all goes back to the schuth of rebellion. Because through his decision, generations of generations of Torah, people coming back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, people being mischazek. Rav Matisyahu once told me a tremendous maisa. A Baal Tshuva was once speaking, and he asked a Baal Tshuva. They asked him once, why was he chayzer b'tshuva? He said, I'll tell you the truth. I was walking in Haifa, I was a chiloni, walking in Haifa on the main road, and there was this massive, what do you call it? No? Picture, advertisement, this massive advertisement. Wasn't a sneezdik advertisement. And I see a yeshiva bocha walking by, and he turned the other way. And I started thinking about it. There are still today yeshiva bocham that will turn the other way. Even though we don't understand it, how's that possible? But there are. And he said, I watched this bocha. Normal guy, dressed like a normal yeshiva bocha. And I asked myself, what makes this kid turn the other way when nobody's watching him? Nobody's telling him what to do. On the main street, what's stopping him? There must be something else, a stronger koyach that is leading him. I must find out what it is. And he started looking into Yiddishkeit and became frum. This bocha is going to come upstairs and they're going to show him mishpachas, generations of Torah. Who knows where this Baal Tshuva ended up? And they're going to say, this is all part of your maisim toivim. And he's going to say, I never met the guy. I never looked at him. What do you want from me? I don't know him. And they're going to say, when you were 18 years old and you turned, and because of that Kiddush Hashem, this guy was chayzer b'tshuva, and everything that he did for the rest of his life, his children, his grandchildren, and everybody who we had our sport on is all because of your little turn. That goes to your schus. That's the little decision on the streets of Haifa not to look at the schmutziger bild. America, perhaps you'll understand, Lakewood Yeshiva. However much we want to spit out Lakewood from our system, and however much we want to spit out the Yeshivisha world from our system, at the end of the day, America is from. America has been a Torah. 50 years ago, when they told Rabban, hair will grow on my hand, like you'll open a yeshiva without college. And today, the Prosta Balabos in Flatbush is proud to walk into shul that he took a bocha from Bris. He's going to throw him into business 2 years later, we won't talk about that. But he's proud. Who would believe that? That in America, 50 years ago, when you were proud of that, I got a doctor, that will be balabatin today, that will appreciate. Well, that's all his chitzreinus. Do you understand that one man picked up a child at 12 years old and pushed him towards the right, and he's going to come upstairs and he's going to have the schus of American Torah on his cheshbon? That a kid of 9 years old makes the cheshbon, and he said, I'm not going to America. That European Torah after the war is kulay l'schusa to his children. That came out every moishet somewhere in the world, there's another einikel of his, beside his own personal hashpah. For one reason. At 9 years old, he said no. He didn't put into peer pressure. And we have the same thing. We're 18, we're 19. And how many bochum walked out of this Beis HaMedrash that made stupid decisions because she's putting pressure on me? And when a guy comes to you and says to you, Rabbi, you've got to work it out for me. Idiot! Look at the big picture! The SMS, even while I'm talking, I've got to still fix my phone. It's more important than the big picture. Peer pressure. Parents, they won't give me another 6 months. When a lady called me up and said to me after the bocha was learning the second year in yeshiva, and she said to me, Rabbi Lopian, are you going to give me Lakewood grandchildren? And I turned around and I said to her, yeah, those are the grandchildren who are going to be learning Mishnais when you go. Look at the big picture. An achrayus we have for a stupid phone call in the middle of a seder. How many hours, hundreds of hours, are we throwing out over our stupid Yetzer Hara of building up our superficial sense, balance of self-confidence from a few females that will drop you in a minute? And here I spend hundreds of hours, thousands of dollars, for what? And how many yeshiva bochum, how many gedolim have been lost because of the peer pressure, because of this stupid, immature self-confidence that gives me rotzchim, but throwing away generations. Where's our achrayus? What are we going to answer upstairs Ani Yosef. What's the Ribbono Shel'Olam going to be pulled down? The video, and he shows us what we could have been. And you're going to turn around and say, well, I have to give in to my parents, they weren't ready to support me. And the truth is, I didn't do so well in yeshiva. Not because I didn't have a good brain. I wasted the whole year because I was up till 4 a.m. taking care of my problems and her problems and somebody else's problems. And I killed every day that I was in yeshiva. I didn't give myself a chance. And, Baruch Hashem, you know, I gave stocker. I was honored by the Aguda convention. Every few years I got honored by some other yeshiva that my kid learned by. And when I came for sukkahs, every godel took me in with open arms because I was such a bald stocker. You know, I mean, there's the minig in America today of coming for 3-day trip for Lag BaOmer. I go in, come into Lod, we go straight up to Nahariya to Rabbi David Abba Chatzera. We give him what we have to do, we get his bracha. Zichr going to make it this year. Then we go to Rabbi Shimon. We spend the night mamush feeling God. Oh, unbelievable. I mamush felt Yom Kippur over there. If I will take all those tefillahs that I was the night of Yom Kippur, I'll squeeze them out, all I'll see is money, 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 money. The Blavi Berditchev said once, if I take all the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and I squeeze them, Panosa. But Baruch Hashem, said the Blavi Berditchev, at least they do mitzvahs with it. And then on the way to Lod, I'm driving back, I stop off by Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and I get a good picture with him, and it's in next week's paper. And then I go to the Baron Leib, and Reb Michal Yehuda, oh, he's such a sweet man. The way he took me in, you would never believe it. I didn't get on that plane. Ah, Baruch Hashem, I had such a ruchni sticker. Ah, uplift. Now we're ready to go back into Manhattan and make big bucks. Because money is power. In God we trust is written on the dollar. Nothing else, nowhere else, only on the dollar. Rotzchim, look at the big picture. All your energy, your seichel, and your common sense, and your street smart. I didn't even try put it in the Gemara. Did I daven for it? The way I'm going to be davening in 20 years' time. You're going to tell me you're having a hard time? You know, I opened the Gemara and you know what I mean? I can't even make a laning. I got good head. In 25 years' time, Ribbono Shel Olam, we'll be making panos and the Rebbein Shlomo is going to give you a rough time. Ich weiß. I'm highly invested in Lehman Brothers. They're all going to come running to the Kaisel. You're going to have phone calls coming through to every Mekubal and Tzaddik. Daven for me. Save me. I'm going through a hard kufa. I'm not worth it. I'm a Tzaddik. Look how much money I gave. Why do we use that seichel? Instead of waiting for 25 years, use it now for Torah. And ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, give me Siyata Dishmaya. Give me Siyata Dishmaya that I shouldn't have the shtusim. It's so easy, this is satna, such an easy time with us. You didn't have to work hard. In the old days, you had to come into the Beis HaMedrash, step the guy out of Beis HaMedrash, make him understand how gewaldic the world is. Doesn't have a hard time here. Very easy. One phone call. One SMS. From some female. Boom! He's lost everything. A smile. And there he goes. He melts down. And he'll do anything just to get that smile. Idiot! They're going to show this upstairs and they're going to say, where were you? Look what you could have achieved. Ani Yosef, the stira, this contradiction that goes on the whole time within us, the contradiction is so big, how are we going to stand upstairs? And the Rambam says, kol echod ve'echod, each one of us, can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. God will not.
Further away from Har Sinai, the less understanding of Torah we have.
Says Rabbi Chanan Vassar, what does tzaddik mean? What was Moshe Rabbeinu? What did the Torah call Moshe Rabbeinu? Eved Hashem. He's a servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
He was a servant is 24/7. Every one of us can be a Eved Hashem.
Each one of us has the koyach to be a 24/7 Eved Hashem. We have this koyach. Ki korov elecho hadova mo'oid mo'oid. It's close to you. This is the real story that art school should be telling you. This is the story that you should be picking up.
Yeah, to become big, to have such big schusim, all it needs is the one decision.
Yesh koina iloma b'shoa achas. You can be koina your whole world. Bocha Rebbe. Rebbe cried, get a cook, I can be working my whole life. Yesh koina ilomoi. 1 minute's decision can change generations, can change your life. 1 minute's decision. Do I catch the bus? Do I not take the bus? Do I take the phone call in the middle of Seder? Do I not? Each one of us has this 1 minute where it's going to change for a life. I want to finish off with one small story, if you still have patience. I had a boch in the yeshiva.